As the Lord may be pleased to help me this morning, I'll try and speak to you from words you will find in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and we read verse 14. Genesis chapter 22, the 14th verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. How we do need the gracious aid of the Holy Spirit when we consider the Word of God. And in even this portion which we have before us this morning, how we do need the Lord to graciously direct us into those hidden truths which are couched in it. For while we may become conversant with the words and the, as we have the record of the history in the chapter before us, how we do need the Lord to graciously unfold those heavenly truths which are couched in this record, and as it is so in the Word of God altogether. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ himself was pleased to unfold much of the truths of God's Word to those two favoured ones to whom he drew near and befriended in their sad condition as they were journeying to Emmaus. And the scripture tells us how that he unfolded the Word of God to them, the things concerning himself. And I do believe there are things in this text, in this chapter, things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And how we do need the Lord to graciously help us then as we consider his word, and that those blessed truths may be made very real to us. And as our text reminds us of the once provision the Lord made at that particular time for Abraham on that particular occasion and in that particular experience, we are reminded of the wonderful mercy of God in making provision for the salvation of all his dear people. You've been singing that very solemn hymn concerning the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those tremendous sufferings which he experienced as he was nailed to the cross at Calvary. And upon that hill where the dear Lord Jesus Christ suffered and laid down his life, that his dear people might be freed from condemnation and blessed with an everlasting salvation. And you'll notice in our text before us, it is said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And there is that to be seen, is there not, with regard to the provision the Lord made in the person of his beloved Son, and in that the Lord Jesus Christ was so willing to come and to live, to suffer and to die upon Calvary's cross. And so may we be helped a little while this morning to soberly consider this word and one or two aspects in relation to it, hoping it might be perhaps a word a profit, a word helpful for one another in the consideration of it. Abraham was put to a great test. God had greatly favoured Abraham in a very wonderful way, in a very miraculous way. And he'd been blessed, he and Sarah, his wife, with this promised son, Isaac. It was not until they were in their latter days that God was pleased to work this wonderful miracle so that Sarah did bear a son, even when she was 90 years old, and Abraham himself being 100 years old. And what a demonstration of the almighty power of God in fulfilling that promise which he gave to Abraham, that he should be blessed with a son in his old age. And Abraham was favoured to see the unfolding of those promises of God to him. And although we have to remember that Abraham was still but a man, a poor sinner, and he and Sarah, they adopted means, as it were, to further the promise, and in a sense they did, as it were, run before the Lord, and how this proved to be not for their blessing, not for their good, but rather there were those things that took place to remind Abraham that this was not God's way, but that it was in the promised seed that Isaac should yet be born. And it does remind us, does it not, of how patience is needed in the fulfilling of God's purposes. The Lord may have granted you a promise from time to time, but how patience is needed to see the fulfilment of that promise. We do need to be preserved from putting our hands to anything to think that we can, as it were, further that which the Lord has promised and appointed. Abraham had a lesson to learn in this. And then we also notice with Abraham that while he was blessed, and indeed he is acknowledged as faithful Abraham, the friend of God, yet even Abraham had fears. And in his journeyings, how he suggested that Sarah should, as it were, be as his sister. And you see, in that sense, we see how Abraham feared, but how the Lord in great mercy appeared to him, even in that matter, so that things were put right. That was Abraham's fear. But over against all this, we have Abraham, as he stands out in the Word of God, as the friend of God. Abraham, yes, blessed with faith in God. And he came to this point in his life, and as the Word of God reminds us in the opening verses of this chapter, it came to pass after these things. Many things had taken place. And in some things, the Lord had demonstrated to Abraham his almighty power, his solemn judgments upon Sodom and Gomorrah, his wonderful preserving care over Lot. Abraham had known what it was to appear before the Lord, to supplicate in the light of these things, and it was after all these things. And when at length Abraham and Sarah were blessed with this little son Isaac, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. Now we must understand this, that it means to test or to try. The scripture reminds us in elsewhere that God does not tempt. We need to understand the meaning of this word here in this verse, that it means to test or to try. And it came to pass after these things then that God did try or test Abraham. This test his faith. And this reminds us, dear friends, doesn't it, that the Lord does try his people. Let us make no mistake about this, that the pathway of a true believer will be a path of trial. And in one way or another, the Lord does try the faith of his people. And yet what a wonderful mercy it is to be in possession of a grain of living faith, that God-given faith which the Lord is pleased to implant in the hearts of his dear people, which he will exercise in their hearts, but he will try that faith. And what a trial it must have been to Abraham at this time, when the Lord spoke as he did, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Oh, what thoughts must have been produced in the mind of Abraham at this time. How strange this must have appeared to him in the first place. And yet Abraham was given faith. Yes, to obey this word, strange though it seemed to be, mysterious. And Abraham, of course, couldn't see the end of the matter. Although we have an indication later on in the Word of God concerning Abraham that he obeyed, and feeling fully persuaded that even though he should be called upon to offer up his own son, that God was able to even to raise him from the dead. And such was the faith of Abraham. Well, now, in the light of these things, then, we read how Abraham was obedient, and even rose up early in the morning, and took all that was required to take for the offering. And then there was that very touching verse which we read in this chapter, as they went both of them together. You see, Abraham had commanded his young men to stay behind while he and Isaac went on, as it were, to this place that was appointed. Abraham said to his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And then there's this touching word here. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now we have this very striking answer, a word surely that the Lord had given Abraham in answer to the question put to him by his son. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. How Abraham was given that faith to cast himself upon the Lord, as it were. And in spite of these very disturbing and mysterious things, he was helped to rest in the Lord. "My son, God himself will provide a lamb." Now, we read in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the people, and were those who boasted in the fact they were Abraham's children, and yet not so spiritually, because they were blind to the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And although they professed to be Abraham's children, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to them? He said, "Your father Abraham saw my day, rejoiced to see my day, saw it and was glad." Well, now surely in this circumstance, Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself will provide a lamb. And in the unfolding of these things to Abraham, as we have been reminded, and we well know these things, of course, in the history of them, how that when Abraham was about to slay his son, he laid him upon the altar. There was a word from heaven. A word from heaven. The Lord spoke to Abraham again. The angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven, saying, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Well, what a beautiful setting forth we have here of the doctrine of substitution. What a provision that the Lord made, you see, at that time for Abraham, that there was this ram caught in the thicket. And yet, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking to the people, reminds them of Abraham, and that how Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, who lived those many years before the dear Son of God was made manifest in the flesh, yet he could see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had revealed it to him. And dear friends, what a great mercy if from time to time, in some little measure, the Lord is pleased to reveal to you of his purposes, his mercy, his grace. For these are things that the world knows not of. Well, you see, Abraham was given to view these things, although so many years before the Lord Jesus Christ came down into this world. And yet, on the other hand, when the dear Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth and declared those things concerning himself, there were those who were so blind, their hearts so hard. And notice, they were religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. And yet how blind they were to the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his work. How deaf their ears were to his words. And all this shows to us, doesn't it, the sad state of man by nature, the enmity in the heart by nature. And over against that we see the wonderful mercy of God in dealing with poor sinners and causing them to realise their need of God's mercy. Yes, to see themselves as poor guilty sinners and then to be led by the Spirit of God to see in Jesus all their salvation and all their desire. Well now, just for a little while this morning, let us try and consider this word. Here Abraham, you see, named this place Jehovah Jireh. And of course the meaning is, the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. The patience Abraham had at this, the wonderful provision, God's way of salvation, you see. And this ram caught in the thicket, can we not discern here the dear Lord Jesus Christ in all that he came to do? And when at length he was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, caught in a thicket in this respect, that all the sins of the whole church of God were laid upon him. He bore the curse. He bore the punishment. We sing hymns, and the Lord did graciously help our forefathers in putting hymns together concerning these sacred things. Yet they are beyond our comprehension. We cannot fathom the depth of them. But what a mercy, dear friends, if there is a little faith in our hearts to lay hold upon the precious things concerning the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For here and here alone is the hope of poor sinners. It is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings and death, the way to heaven is open to poor guilty, unworthy sinners. But now this proved to be to Abraham, it's a place of blessing. It was a place of trial. Abraham's faith was put to the test. And he was blessed with that faith and exercise to walk in obedience to the revealed will and command of God. And in this very place, it proved to be such a blessing to Abraham in that word which God gave to Abraham following this. That in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Here was the promise, you see. Yes, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, through whom the nations should be blessed. Yes, the nations of God, the holy election of grace, should be recipients of those great blessings which should flow through the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now these things are written for the instruction and profit of God's dear people. And in this word here, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What was seen? Well, the Lord's provision. It was seen the unfolding of God's purpose of grace to Abraham in the trial of his faith. And in this mount it was seen. Now, as I did just make brief reference to begin with, how our thoughts should be directed to the hill of Calvary. And what is to be seen there? The word of God has a record of this, how the dear Lord Jesus Christ was led, yes, as a lamb to the slaughter. And it was at Calvary. It was to be seen. The wonderful provision the Lord has made for his unworthy people. That every need should be supplied. That the Lord Jesus Christ did all that was required to be done for the salvation of his dear people. He had lived his holy life. And this he lived for his people. The word of God tells us that he was made of a woman and made under the law to redeem his people which are under the law. To redeem them, to purchase them. Yes, to pay the price, you see. And in his holy life which he lived, he satisfied the demands of the holy law of God in every jot and tittle, and that for the sake of his people. He lived a holy life, a life of complete obedience to his Father's will. Nothing lacking in any way whatever in his holy life. He was the holy, undefiled Son of God. Though he lived amongst sinners, yet he himself was holy. And he lived that holy life, that law-fulfilling life. And then, you see, he suffered. Yes, he suffered. A sacrifice had to be made. In faith, the dear saints of old offered their sacrifices. And there was the Old Testament ritual in worship, the manner of worship and approach to God through the sacrifices offered by the priest. But all this was so typical. Those sacrifices had no virtue in themselves. But it was typical of the one great sacrifice for sins. And when you think of what Abraham said to his son, "My son, God himself will provide a lamb." And think of the dear Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. He who was so meekly, as it were, in his meekness, yielded himself to his enemies. You read how they bound him and led him away. Oh, the meekness of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. He knew full well what was before him, the sufferings he knew, what they would be, yet he yielded himself. And then as that sacrifice, which was indeed a holy sacrifice, the birds and beasts that had to be brought of old had to be as near as possible without blemish, had to be inspected by the priest. And only in that way were they acceptable to God. But this, of course, again was a type. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was that acceptable sacrifice. He was indeed without blemish and without spot. He was a holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God, separate from sinners. And yet, you see, the sins of his people were all laid upon him. And he suffered. That is why he suffered. Truly, he was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. But he suffered for sinners. He shed his blood. Yes. And nothing short of this could satisfy divine justice. Blood must be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the word of God tells us. And Christ shed his blood. And all the virtue of that precious blood, which was shed upon Calvary's cross, to atone for the sins of the whole church of God, for them to be cleansed, each soul to be cleansed in that fountain open for sin and all uncleanness. And this was open when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood upon the cross. You see, Abraham said, my son, God himself will provide a lamb. Here is God's provision. You see, man has no hand in the salvation of his soul. Whatever some religious people may profess, as it were, or proclaim concerning man's ability, this is false. Man has no ability whatever, in any way whatever, to assist in his salvation. It was God's provision. And dear friends, if the Lord has been pleased to teach us by his Spirit, we shall value that. If our eyes are open to see a little of our lost, ruined, undone condition, our helpless condition, we shall value that provision which the Lord has made. God the Father and the person of his dear Son. There's everything in him. What a bountiful, what a wonderful provision. I would speak reverently. What a sufficient provision to meet every need and to ensure the eternal salvation of all God's dear people. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And when the dear Saviour was lifted upon the cross, there was seen God's salvation. Many did not see it. You read in the record how they sat down. There were those who sat down and watched him there. What did they see? Well, they saw the suffering person upon the cross. How much more did they see? But there were those who watched. And although as yet they did not understand, yet the time came when it was revealed to them why the dear Saviour suffered as he did. Why he experienced death. And when the glorious resurrection took place, you see, everything was completed. And when the dear Lord Jesus Christ, as he promised, revealed himself again to his sorrowing disciples, they saw him as their risen Saviour. I say, what a provision. Yes, God himself will provide a lamb. You remember, as John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who was the voice in the wilderness, how is it as when Jesus came forth into his public ministry, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Dear friends, what a mercy if the eyes of faith shall be in exercise to behold the Lamb of God. Because everything here, you see, to meet every need, whatever your circumstance, your case may be, your trials, your temptations, your felt guilt, in that the dear Lamb of God is everything. Yes, to meet the need of all his dear people, poor sinners like you, who may sometimes feel so unworthy and so burdened with your sin. Oh, to see the dear Saviour, the Lamb of God. He who bore away the sins of his people. John said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. It means which beareth away the sin of the world. That is God's chosen world. The whole election of grace. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And then I want to look at it just simply in this way. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There are these mounts, you see. Abraham had to journey to and in the offering of his son. And Abraham saw the Lord Jesus Christ by faith at that time in that mount. No doubt Abraham, as he journeyed up the mount, found it very hard going. No doubt many thoughts revolved in his mind, and it was something which enabled him to continue. Yes, and willing to give up his son, as it were, as it had been indicated to him. In the mount of the Lord it was seen. Now, dear friend, is it not so in life's pathway? We come down to our daily walks and the ways in which the Lord is pleased at times to lead us. Are there not mountains? But what a mercy from time to time you may be helped to view as the mount of the Lord. You see, the Lord leads his people in the way in which they should go. He's not promised a smooth path. There's not a smooth path to heaven. But there are the hills and the valleys. There are the mounts. Yes, there may be mounts of danger, mounts of distress, mounts of temptation, mounts which present such difficulties to you. But what a mercy if at times you may be able to observe in one way or another the mount of the Lord. You see, the Lord leads his people. We read the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, you may have these mounts. Yes, mounts of difficulty. Maybe mounts of distress. Some mounts are unlooked for, as it were. But what a mercy if you shall be helped to view them in this way as the mount of the Lord. Because in this will be seen what the Lord is to his dear people. This name that belongs to him, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. And when perhaps sometimes you may feel much troubled and distressed and have many conflicting thoughts about various things, maybe concerning yourself or your circumstances, what a great mercy it is if you're helped to realise there's one who is in complete control of all these things, and that the Lord will perform his purposes towards you, even in those things that may seem to be so strange. There's this word, you see, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see or provide. And as God the Father in his wisdom made all provision for his dear people in the salvation of their souls, they shall be saved in everlasting salvation. So, in the things that may concern them in their daily pathways, and in your pathway, and perhaps in the difficulties that may arise, like mountains as it were, the Lord has a purpose in this. He's made all provision. Oh, to be blessed with faith, to trust in him. The Lord, you see, will provide. The Lord will see to it. You see, go back again to Abraham for a moment. When it seemed rather impossible that he and Sarah should have a son. And they devised means, didn't they? I didn't go into details. You know the details. But that was not the Lord's way. And they brought trouble into their home in pursuing those things. But at length, you see, they were able to observe how the Lord made the way. Yes, in that wonderful, miraculous way that he gave them a son, a real son. And the Lord did see to it. And now when Abraham was called upon to offer up his son, a provision was made. Abraham's faith was tested. There was a blessing in it. And the blessing that Abraham saw was this. In the ram caught in a thicket, the Lord saw to it. Yes. And now, you see, here is the source of comfort to God's distressed people at times. When perhaps they have their difficulties, their distresses in life's pathway, They might be personal ones or relative ones, circumstantial ones. But to remember, there's an overruling providence. And in closing this morning, I'll remind you of the dear psalmist David. Now, he had problems. He had hills of distress. He had difficulties. He had dangers. He had perplexities. And yet you read one of those psalms, and in more than one place, how he's given faith to cast himself upon the Lord. And it was in this way. He says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. You see, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord performs, the Lord will provide. And he was given faith, yes, to cry to the Lord, who controlled all things, higher than all the mountains and distresses, and how the Lord honoured his faith. Well, Abraham, as he was called to walk this difficult, mysterious way, he proved in the ultimate issue to be a great blessing. And there was an unfolding of God's purposes toward Abraham and his seed. Then blessing, I will bless thee. And sometimes in these difficult circumstances, there's a blessing wrapped up in them. Amen.
Conclude this morning by singing hymn number 1123, tune Rockingham 398. Number 1123, stretched on the cross, the Saviour dies. Hark, his expiring groans arise. See from his hands, his feet, his side, runs down the sacred crimson tide. 1123. Osborne.